Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the All Things Gymnastics podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brittany.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things gymnastics. And this week we're talking all things Core Hydration Classic. It was the comeback meet for Simone Biles and Cindy Lee, their first elite competition since the Tokyo Olympics. We saw the beautiful Melanie de Jesus dos Santos, absolute domination from Jocelyn Robertson, and so much more that we break down in today's episode. We hope you guys enjoy it. So you guys may or may not have seen the tweet, but we had some technical difficulties and basically recorded this whole classics recap. And then
that was over an hour long.
And it felt like we spent the entire day doing it. We were getting a little bit distracted doing other things while we were editing it, but it just felt like it took all day. And then basically, long story short, it didn't save.
As we were exporting, the program that we used to edit crashed. And we weren't able to recover.
And then, obviously, that's frustrating. Brittany took to Twitter in a fit of rage and basically was like, we're not... that was not the tone of her tweet. But she was basically like, we're not putting out an episode because we're busy. And we are. And it is hard to sit down and like re-record what you literally just did.
In that moment, I was just super frustrated because like you said, I would say we spent probably a solid 5 hours in total on
this. And after the weekend that we had, we just like wanted to be done with it. And then it did that to us.
But now we slept on it. It's the next day.
And a lot of people were tweeting and messaging, like bummed out that we weren't going to have an episode. And also I think this moment is too big of a moment not to acknowledge on the podcast.
No,
so I kind of feel like we have to. So we're here. Surprise. We do have an episode after all. We're a little bit late. Sorry about that. But
I needed to get over my temper tantrum.
Right. But I'm sure a lot of you guys know we were both at Classics working for Inside Gymnastics, but we both were credentialed. And
it was my first time.
Yes. And
what a meet to be at.
I know. We've said this already, but when we credentialed for this, Simone and Suni was not supposed to be a thing. We had no indication that they were going to be competing here. So that was a pleasant surprise, I think, for everybody who was already credentialed as media to find out that they were going to that meet. It definitely made things a lot crazier than anything I've experienced before. Because last year when I was at US Championships, you know, we had like Jade Carey and Jordan Childs, and I want to say there was like no more than 10 members of the media. And when you were interviewing the athletes afterwards, you'd be in like almost like groups of five-ish maybe. And things were just wild. There was so much media there, like outlets that don't normally cover gymnastics. Like you have your gymnastics media that's at every single meet, but then you have when Simone's involved and Suni's involved, you have like the Today Show and there
New
was
York Times.
Yeah, you have an outlet from France that came to the meet because of Melanie, obviously. So there was a lot of media there, and they didn't have a like press conference area, which really was not ideal for Simone in particular because...
And Suni.
Well, Suni as well. But honestly, I kind of felt like from a media standpoint, there was definitely more interest in Simone. Like, they were, for podium training, the media that was there, they were, like, following Simone's every move.
And nobody was by Suni.
No, and I, at one point, was by the beam getting videos of Suni, and I think Simone was on bars at that time, and no one was around. And I'm, like, looking around, like, hello, what are people doing? And I get it's Simone, it's her first meet, and that rotation in particular was her first time, like, doing gymnastics that the public has seen. So I get it, but there definitely was more interest in Simone in this meet than there was Suni, which you would never think would ever happen, that like the Iranian Olympic champion would make her come back to elite gymnastics and there'd be not that much interest in her. And there was interest in her. I'm not saying that there wasn't, but
as far as like podium training,
well, I think like the mass media that came to the meet, they were there for Simone.
Yeah.
And she by far had the biggest mob of press around her because she didn't do press after podium training. She only did it after the competition. Mm-hmm. And there was not a lot of room. If you were like one of the lucky ones that got in the front, you had like good audio and good video and you could ask questions. But like, it was so loud in the arena and there were so many people there.
Yeah, it's funny because if you go look at the Simone interview that's on Inside Gymnastics YouTube channel, one of the comments on that was like, why are they doing this during the meet? And I'm like, you realize it's not during the meet. Like, this is after the award ceremony. Like, it's just that loud.
Yeah.
People are just screaming because Simone is sitting on the podium talking to the media right in front of them. Yeah. They're like chanting her name.
It's loud.
So it was hard to hear. Like, even just standing there, like,
we were like in the second, I mean, they weren't really rows, but kind of, I guess, if you would classify
second
it as
row of the mob
of the mosh pit is what I was calling it. We were like kind of in the second row, and so we were pretty close, but I kid you not, I could not hear a thing. Every once in a while I'd pick up like a word here or there, but I was pretty close and I could not hear. I could not hear what she was saying. I couldn't hear what the other media was asking. I was filming it, and the audio that we got from the camera was actually, thank God, better than
what it was.
Better than what I could hear in my own head.
With your own ears?
Right.
But that's because the camera had a mic on it. So, yeah, I walked away from that interview with Simone being like, I could not tell you a goddamn thing she said.
Can't wait to listen to it because I don't know what was said.
And so that makes it hard, in my opinion, for the media to really fully engage. You, like you said, basically the people in the front row who happen to get a good spot, those are the people that are asking all the questions for the most part, because everybody else behind can't either hear, or half the time they can't even see. There's people who are struggling to even get their camera in there to see. And so that's where I think I don't want to say a better arena, but like, this arena did not have a room for a press conference, and that was the issue. So they were having to do it on the podium where it was loud, where everyone was crowding around. When you have a room for a press conference, everyone is sitting down in individual chairs that are spread out, and you have your camera set up, and you know what I mean?
Well, and that's not necessarily the fault of USA Gymnastics, because like we said, even just with us credentialing for this meet, they had that arena set in stone before Suni and Simone announced that they were
right
going to the meet.
It was kind of just like after the fact. You're like, wait a minute, how is this gonna work? And we, going in, we were questioning the same thing. We were like, how is this gonna work, looking around and seeing all of the people that are there as media, and thinking we're all here at the end of this meet for the same purpose, and that's to get quotes from Simone. It was chaotic.
Yeah, but I was really, really happy with our seats. We had great seats, arguably the best seats in the house.
Front row, right by Fleur.
So close. And usually, like, media seats are not always in the best location. Like, last year at championships, we were by Beam, but we were pushed, like, into a corner, kind of.
Or, like, you're up in the rafters.
Yeah, basically. It's, like, one of the two. You're either, like, in a corner somewhere, you're way high up. This was, like, front row seating, like, you guys saw it on TV, but basically that whole side of the arena was just the press. So when the athletes are on floor and they face that direction, there's no audience behind us. It's
the scoreboard and it's the media.
Yeah. So we had really good seats. I actually, for the rotation that WCC was on floor during podium training, I actually went back to my seat to film because I was like walking around filming, and that's how close we were. I was able to just sit in my seat and just like film it from there. So that was really, really cool. Definitely the best seat that I could have envisioned for this.
And it was fun because, like you said, there was no one besides the media on that side of the arena. So when the athletes were performing, they were performing to us. Shout out to Khalise Wolford, former podcast guest. She was literally putting on a show for the Elephant Gymnastics podcast. There was one part of her routine where she was in that corner right by us and just made eye contact with us and was like performing. I'm like, thank you. Love you, girl.
You didn't have to go that hard, please. But no, it was really, really fun. And it was also funny because we were joking, like all the members of the media, we were joking. When it came to Simone on floor, we knew that that was going to be like a lot of the stuff that would circulate depending on how she did. And we all knew that we were going to be on camera. A lot of people were tweeting us and like sending us screenshots of us. And we were all like, we need to practice our straight face because you can't like show emotion, or like you're supposed to be.
You can't react.
You're supposed to be impartial. So we were like, we need to practice our like poker faces before Simone comes. We need to like, if you got to get a sip of water, fix your hair.
Pick your nose.
Right. Whatever you got to do. And then we were also like, maybe we should like hit like our like, turn to your good side, like, get your glamour shot going, like, pose in the way that you want to be posed when the camera comes on you. It was pretty funny. In the end, I just ended up trying to hold a straight face. And someone actually said that to us, too. They were like, how do you hold a straight face? And I'm like, it's hard, but we're trying, okay?
I feel like during Jocelyn's routine, I was definitely smiling. And also Khalees, like we just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Those girls that we've, like, had on our podcast. And then, but they're looking at you and they're, like, performing at you. And I'm like, I have to, like, give them something. You know what I mean? Like, I gotta smile at least.
Right. You gotta connect with them. It was definitely a really cool experience, though. Actually, we got pretty lucky with having run-ins with gymnasts. Right when we got there, so we drove from Michigan, of course, and the credentialing registration area is the same for anyone that is credentialed. So whether you're media, you're an athlete, coach,
broadcast a judge, team.
Yeah, everybody goes to the same door. And we were walking up this hill because that's what you had to do in order to get to
it. It was like a loading dock.
Yeah.
The area that they had credential pickup at and like the entrance that the athletes went through was like not even like really an entrance. It was quite literally like a loading dock.
Yeah.
Where you could, like, put a semi-truck and unload equipment.
Well, right, that's how they were getting the equipment into the arena.
But and it was, like, just, like, a little, like, side door.
You had to, like, walk up this hill in order to get to where you were going. So we see these two athletes walking down. Me and Brittany are walking up. And then we were like, is that Simone? And it was. It was Simone and Jordan Chiles. They had just gotten their credentials, I'm assuming. And we just, like, walked right past them. Simone Biles in the wild.
Right. Just like that. Our first half hour being in Hoffman Estates. And it's crazy because you're so used to seeing Simone and Jordan, but particularly Simone, always surrounded by media, fans, or you're seeing her in a competition setting. You know what I mean? Like, you're not right. Often just, like, casually walking past Simone Biles and Jordan Chiles. And she actually said hi to us.
I was surprised that she remembered us because we used to, like, I don't want to say we knew her because we didn't know her, but, like, she knew of us way back in the day. It was one of those things where, like, she would always come and say hi to us after the meets, come up and give us a hug, things like that.
It was because of Triple Twist.
Yeah.
Like, we had, like, our blog back in the day, and we would interview her and things like that, so.
Yeah, we had, like, one of the first interviews that we ever did. It was actually through Skype because Zoom wasn't a thing back then, and we did an interview with Simone, and it was awful. Not because the questions were bad, but just...
We just didn't know how to interview
people. We were just really awkward, yeah. Anyways, I don't even know where that interview was at, but that was, like, right after 2013 Worlds, I think. Yeah, it was. She'd won Worlds at that point, but anyways.
So it had been that long,
she
really?
She knows who we are, and, like, she's known for a while, but it's also just been so long, and she's also gotten so big since we've last really had, like, any interaction with her. So yeah. I was kind of surprised, but also, like, very pleased to know that she remembered who we were.
And this is where being, like, professional as media has to come in, unfortunately, because in that moment you're like, this is a perfect opportunity to, like, get a photo, you know what I mean? But we're, like, literally going in to pick up credentials as media, so then we have to just, like, be, like, professional, you know what I mean? And be mm-hmm. like, you can say hi, of course, like, she initiated the conversation with us, or the hi, it wasn't a conversation, she just said hi and we said good luck, but then when, like, we walk past, then there's that part of you inside that's like,
like, pull your phone out and start texting all your friends.
Literally, I'm like, I literally had all of the group chats going, like, you're not gonna guess what just happened. Like,
so that was a great way to start the trip.
It was definitely, like, the best possible way to start the entire trip. And then from there, things just got really chaotic. At least it felt that way for me, just because it was my first time doing this. Me and Ashley, we counted between the 3 days that we were there, worked 51 hours. Between the drive and then just time spent in the arena, there was not food at the arena. Like, they didn't provide food for the media. So we would either have to, like, leave and go get something, or we would just, like, bring snacks and, like, basically starve ourselves.
So healthy.
And so basically we were spending, like, long, all day pretty much there.
Oh yeah, arena. One of the days, I don't even remember because it all, like, blurs together in my mind. I don't remember what day it was. It was the day of senior women's podium training and then the hopes competition and then the junior women. We got there at, like, 7:30 and we didn't leave until 10:30 or 11:30 or something. So yeah, like,
and we were quite literally working that entire time. Like, I maybe stopped and looked at my phone for, like, 10 minutes at one point to, like, shove some food in my mouth.
I wrote, like, 2 articles, I think, during the hopes competition and a little bit during the juniors, and yeah, it's just a lot. Very, very busy. Definitely.
So if you enjoyed,
don't have time to get bored.
If you enjoyed the coverage that Inside Gymnastics provided, that was your girls.
Okay, so let's get into the actual competition, because a lot happened, lots of really exciting stuff, and we have a lot to talk about. So I guess we'll go in chronological order. We'll start with juniors.
Yeah.
So We'll start by saying this. Jayla Hain won the U.S. Classic last year in the junior division. She was not at this competition. She originally was on the roster, but ended up pulling out. She actually rolled her ankle 8 weeks prior to Classics and was only cleared to train right before, like the week before Classics. So didn't end up competing, but she is expected to be back for U.S. Championships and is expected to be good to go. So that's good news because she is definitely one of the front runners, one of the top juniors right now.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to Hesley Rivera, who was my pick for winning the competition. She ended up pulling out after. So she started on bars, did beam, and then ended up pulling out.
She fell on both.
She did.
She had a really great bar routine, fell on her dismount, which is similar to what I believe she did at Winter Cup earlier this year. Mm-hmm. So like that dismount was clearly
it's
not
always the worst
working.
Though when you have a great routine and then you fall on the dismount, it's like, oh, you're so close to being
right.
done.
Yeah, that's literally what it felt like. And then she went to beam. I don't remember
had three falls.
You're right. I think she did because she got like an 11 something. And yeah. I remember we were talking about that score being too high given the mistakes that she had.
She got an 11.550. I want to check real quickly because I don't remember off memory. It was either three or maybe she had four.
I think it was three.
But either way, her score was definitely really, really high given the amount of mistakes that she had.
While you're looking that up, so what ended up happening after that is she pulled out. So we did an interview with her on the Inside Gymnastics YouTube channel before the competition, so after podium training, and she said that her back was sore. So she wasn't sure at that point in time if she was even going to do the all-around. So we knew going in that there was a possibility that she would pull out. She had a pretty rough warm-up on floor in particular in podium training. So
yeah, I was not shocked at all that she, after beam, decided to pull out of the meet.
I will say that, and this is not going to be surprising considering that Hesley trains at WOGA, and this has kind of been like the history of gymnasts that train at WOGA that are like chronically injured. Classics is not that important of a meet. Hesley is already qualified to the national championship, so I kind of just wish that she had rested this meet. I guess I don't know the point of showing up, doing two in the end, with the way that it ended up going, two mediocre events and then having to scratch because your back is hurting. Like, if your back is hurting, why not just rest and prepare for championships?
Yeah, and that was actually something that she acknowledged when we talked to her. She said that, like, she knows that Classics is by far not as important as the U.S. Championships is. So she knows that. Her coaches know that. Why they decided to let her to compete, I'm not exactly sure.
I mean, sure, it's experience. You know, I mean, that's always a good thing. But I feel like
But is it worth it if your back is sore and you're risking injury and...
Right. Like, know. At that point, probably not worth it. At least in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of you would agree with me.
By the way, she did have three falls. Okay. So an 11.550 for three falls is...
Very generous.
A little cray-cray. But that's what happened. So hoping that Hesley and Jayla Hain will both be healthy for the U.S. Championships, because I think it could be a real battle for those two to win their first junior all-around national title. But also in the mix is Kieran Fennell, who has been on an absolute roll since winning the American Classic. Then she comes in and wins the U.S. Core Hydration Classic. So,
and she's somebody who's always kind of been somewhat in the mix so far in her junior career. Like last year, she had a pretty solid year. She's never been like that top junior. She was an alternate for the Junior Worlds. Was that earlier this year?
Yeah, it was like end of March, beginning of April.
Yeah, so she's always had potential. That's always been there, but she's never been able to top the podium. So I feel like she's kind of finally coming into her own, which is really, really exciting.
Her score, actually, just a little fun fact, would have placed 7th in the senior division. So not too shabby.
Yeah, she's really, really clean. She looks unfazed. That was something that I remember thinking when I was watching her, is that like a lot of junior athletes look really nervous when they're competing. And she was one that just kind of would get up there and do her job. And she didn't seem fazed in the slightest.
Cool as a cucumber. As Hesley Rivera would say. That's what she said.
That's a Hesley Rivera quote. But yeah, so super, super happy to see Kieran come away with the title. Ashley's going to give you the rest of the podium.
So we had some new faces. We had Tatum Drush in second. By the way, I should say Kieran's score was a 52.8. Then Tatum Drush was second with a 51.2. And then Addie Fulcher was third with a 51.1. kind of making a run for the podium at the end there was Ella Kate Parker.
She gets my most improved award. If anybody watched the American Classic just 2 weeks prior, she was a hot mess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, really bad all-around performance.
Kind of, like, concerning. I was like, is she okay?
Yeah, and she's kind of been off dealing with injuries, switching gyms again. So she went to WOGA because there was a family member that was dealing with something and she needed to be close to that person. She ended up moving back recently to Cincinnati Gymnastics because that's where she always wanted to be. That's what we were told. Like, she always wanted to be at Cincinnati. She kind of just didn't have a choice at that point in time. So she's back. Again, both of those gyms are not ones that have really great track records as far as athlete health, which is we're seeing in Ella Kate Parker. It's something that she's kind of been plagued with in her young career already. But here at Classics, she looked really, really good.
Yeah, shades of the old Ella Kate Parker. She hit 4 for 4. She had on her third tumbling pass on floor, which was her last event, a little bit of a hiccup. She was under rotated and ended up taking like 50 million steps backwards, but kept it on her feet.
So she did.
It was a hit, 4 for 4. And really looked good. And in the warm-up, she kind of looked off. She almost was in tears before the competition.
She was, yeah. Because when she came to floor, we could see her face really well because she was basically right there. And she most definitely had tears in her eyes. Like, I don't know what was happening. Like, I wasn't zoning on her. So maybe she was having a bad warm-up on beam. I don't quite know what was going on. But my thought was, oh, great. She already looks like she's crying.
She needed to qualify at this meet.
She, like, needs to
qualify.
It was
do or die, basically.
And this is a lot of pressure. And she, during the competition, did a complete 180 on the situation. The best meet that she's put up potentially ever.
Or at least in a while.
Yes, definitely in a while. So she gets the All Things Gymnastics Podcast Most Improved Award that I'm creating in this moment because I was very, very impressed watching her and very happy for her. She looked so happy at the end when she realized that not only she had qualified to championships, but that she hit 4 for 4 and she got through the meet healthy. So super, super happy for her. And then Simone Rose is another fan favorite, somebody who was in contention for the podium, or at least a fan favorite for the podium coming in. She also didn't have the best meet, similar to Hesley. She started out with a fall on bars, had a decent beam routine, a decent vault, and then fell on floor her third pass. That was something that she had been struggling with in podium training and the warm-up prior to the competition. I think that third pass that she does, I saw her maybe land one or two of them the entire weekend. Like, there was a really strong possibility that she was going to fall on that. I knew that going in, and she did, unfortunately. But so much room to grow for her. She's someone that I really enjoy watching.
She's still really young, really inexperienced. She doesn't have, you know, international experience. Last year at Classics and Championship, she was only doing 2 events.
Mm-hmm.
Floor was not one of them. So she has a lot of time still to, like, get that experience and improve her confidence and consistency.
Can we talk about her floor routine?
Yes.
The choreography. I love it.
So it was choreographed by Miss Val Macy Dunn, who, if you don't know who she is, she's a professional dancer. She was actually in Simone Biles' tour.
And was she like a choreographer or just one of the dancers?
She was one of the dancers. She was, like, technically, I think, the dance captain on the tour.
Okay, period.
But she's really good. And then Camille Palmer, who is a coach at Pacific Rim, but she also has, like, a background in dance as well. So it was kind of a collaborative effort between the three, but I think it turned out really, really well. I know they were a little bit nervous with how Simone was going to perform it.
Yeah, they didn't want it to be known, I think, going into the meet, like, who all choreographed it, like, especially Miss Val's role in it, because Miss Val is so known for her choreography that I think they wanted her just to go out there and do the routine and not have anyone, like, really even talking about it, if
right,
that makes,
like,
sense.
Not to put pressure on her to have to
do this,
it,
like, amazing Miss Val floor routine, you know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. They just wanted to get that first one out of the way, so.
But she did it really well, especially given that she did have a mistake on floor. Like, she, you could see in, like, her eyes that she was, like, I don't know, there was, like, a,
she was telling a story of some sort.
Yeah.
I don't know what that story is, but something was going on, and I liked it. At the end, she does, like, the little, like, the eyes, like she points.
Like Felicia Hanna with the alien routine.
Yeah, she has 2 fingers pointing towards her eyes, and she flips it around, and she, like, points at the judges, and she, like, puts her hand on her, like, chest. So it's kind of like, I'm watching you, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
And it's different for a junior. We don't see juniors really have, like, intricate choreography or really that great performance quality. So that was nice to see. And honestly, something that I didn't really expect from Simone, just because she is like so fresh on the scene. She's a little bit shy. And, you know, I didn't really like expect her to like really perform well. But I think she did pretty good, especially given the circumstances. And
well, and I think that her performance quality will even continue to evolve over time. Like, the older she gets, the more maturity, you know, the more she performs that routine, she'll get more comfortable with it. And I think it only is going to get better. So that's...
Sorry.
You really tried to...
I really tried to hold my cough until she was done talking and I couldn't. So if you and heard you, that weird
and
noise...
And then you interrupted, so now we can't edit it out.
I had to admit, I just coughed and I still need to cough, so please hold.
Anyways, I think I was just saying that I'm excited to see where that routine goes in the future.
Me too. Okay, so session one of seniors now?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've been waiting for this one. Jocelyn freaking Robertson.
Even though the title of this podcast is going to be Simone freaking Biles, Jocelyn freaking Robertson.
I'm so happy for her, so proud of her. It's just been a long time coming, you know? We've been watching Jocelyn since she was a little fetus baby. And like now she's this amazing senior gymnast who is going to international competitions and winning medals.
She's so confident. She's so well spoken. She's just like,
she's that girl.
Yeah, she's killing it. And I feel bad because I think she's someone that for the longest time people were writing off. And I will say this, one of my biggest things, I don't want to say that I'll brag about, but what am I trying to say?
Things that you will throw in someone's face if you have
Yeah,
to.
That's what it is. Like things that I like, it's my like
your claim to fame.
Claim to fame, yeah. It's like I have been a Jocelyn Robertson truther from the start. I listened to some old podcast episodes a while back, like a couple months ago, and in one of them, we were doing Olympic team predictions, and I had Jocelyn Robertson on my Olympic team.
And I'm not gonna lie, this time a year ago, I don't want to say I was like writing her off or anything, but she definitely was inconsistent. Bars were really, really sloppy.
Holding her back kind of
was questionable. She had yet to get an international assignment. She didn't end up making national team last year. And then she made the move to WCC. And ever since then, her gymnastics has evolved. She's cleaned up her form. She's upgraded. She's getting international assignments and winning medals.
Yeah.
And then she came out with the highest score in this competition for session one. Technically, Melanie Jesus Dos Santos was ahead of her unofficially. But because she's an international competitor, her scores don't count in the rankings. We'll get to Melanie in a second. But Jocelyn was leading after session one.
And she ended up finishing third overall,
which was the first all-around medal of her career as a senior. So I'm just so, so proud of her. She went 14+ on three of the events. Bars had a mistake, but honestly, until the mistake, it looked better.
It wasn't that bad. Like, of course, she still needs to work on her execution. I think she knows that. Like, that's not a secret. And I know that's something that she's probably working on, you know, every day in the gym, along with, you know, increasing her difficulty and all of that. But her consistency and her confidence has improved tenfold. And I think that was really evident in this meet. I want to talk about her vault. She did the Chung for the first time in competition. People were ripping her to shreds on social media after podium training, which we ended up learning after the fact that she had a headache or
maybe even been a migraine. She said she was having a hard time seeing and that she's actually been, like, in the weeks leading up to Classics, been dealing with, like, persistent headaches. So she thought maybe it could be stress-induced. Didn't really know for sure if it was a migraine, but she definitely had something going on that was affecting her in podium training. So to see her come back and have such a good performance, even despite bars, she was really on fire through those first three rotations. And I like the progress that I saw on bars from her. Like,
yeah.
She's better at hitting the handstand, still has a little bit of form and stuff, but
floor landings were really solid.
Yeah, she did the laid out double double and damn near stuck it.
Yeah.
If not, definitely a stick. Full twisting double layout reminds me a lot of Jordan Chiles, where she like flares it kind of. It's not like super pin straight or like even a pike in the hips like some gymnasts do.
Mm-hmm.
Really like open and kind of like a flared body position on it, which is really nice.
And then her Chung on vault, the one she did in competition, was really good. She got her chest up on the landing, just a small hop back. And like I said, I think execution is something that, especially when she goes to international meets, if she were to make the world championship team or the Olympic team, I think that's something that could impact her score. For me, it's the knees. Like, that's the part of her that I notice the most when she's flipping, is her knees are sometimes bent. So that's like the biggest thing that I think she really needs to key in on here in the next year, year and a half, because she's fighting for a spot with people like Jade Carey and Jordan Chiles, who, in my opinion, at this point in time, have cleaner twisting form. Knees aren't as soft.
Mm-hmm. I think on floor, she's pretty similar to Jade, to be honest with you. I'm not saying, like, obviously she's not the exact same, but, like, I don't think her form is any worse than Jade's. And
so then it becomes a matter of who's doing the most difficult routine and who has the best landings.
Yes, and I was going to say on fall, I think Jocelyn does have a little bit of knees, but Jade has pre-flight form issues, and Jocelyn does not have as much. So you can nitpick it, pull deductions from both of them, and, you know, I'm sure. I think that we need to see more of them kind of going head-to-head.
Oh, totally.
To really see, like, who's going to consistently score higher.
And that's why championships are going to be so much fun.
Yeah, because Jade didn't do vault here. She only did beam. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. With Jocelyn doing that vault, she also does Yurchenko double, which she had, like, way too much power on, which I guess is a good thing at Classics.
Yeah, at this point in the season, I would say that's, like, not a concern.
Mm-hmm. But with her doing those upgrades, I think she's more in the mix than people have maybe considered her to be in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I'm really excited about, because I think that we've seen the potential for a long time. And now that she's made the switch to WCC, she's really just, like, coming into her own and thriving and completely, like, owning her gymnastics. And she looks really, really good. And I can't wait to see her continue to improve, because I think that she's definitely in the mix.
And the same is true with Melanie. She also made the switch to WCC. She looks amazing. I would say that was one of the best all-around performances that she's had in a long time, maybe possibly ever. She looks way more confident and sure of herself when she's out there.
Well, it was her highest all-around score out of the whole quad so far, so definitely a performance that, you know, she's gonna be happy with. The crowd absolutely loved her. They adored her.
The crowd here was really, really good.
They were good for everybody. Like, sure, they went nuts for, like, Simone and Suni and Jade and Jordan and all the big names, and Melanie as well. But they also were really, like, supportive and respectful of the not-as-big athletes. Like, this was a crowd that you could tell just loved gymnastics, and when someone was struggling and making a lot of mistakes, they would, like, cheer them on and, like, kind of, like, help them get through their routine.
Yeah. And it wasn't, cool. It was a sold-out arena. Now arena is not the biggest arena, like we mentioned. There's that whole side of the arena where the media was sitting and where the scoreboard is at that, like, there aren't seats there. So there's basically a whole side that's not for people to sit. So it's not the biggest arena, but I think that because it was packed full and Simone and Suni were there, people were hyped up about that, that it created a really good environment overall for all of the athletes. Yeah, so,
for sure.
And people had signs for Melanie that were in French so she could see them and understand them. And I just think that's so cute and so supportive. And I think she really appreciated that as well. They showed her on the broadcast. We went back and watched it, like, taking a picture of it. You know what I mean? Like, she's just so...
She was so grateful, you could tell.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason why she said that she wanted to come to the United States, was just to have, like, not only more competition experience, but gymnastics, she says, is just different in the United States, even in terms of the way that it's covered. Like, it gets more TV time, it gets media coverage.
Yeah, you get more, like, respect.
Yeah, and the atmosphere at competitions is, I guess, probably a little bit different than it is in France. So she did mention that after the competition, when we got to talk to her with the press, that was one of, like, the main reasons that she wanted to come to the United States. So she seemed to be having a great time and really enjoying herself out there. Her score was a 56.2, which, like we mentioned, technically was the highest score of session one. It would have placed second with session two combined. So that's pretty cool.
Right up there with Simone.
Right, as she should be. Also, I want to real quickly mention, I forgot to say this, Jocelyn was only a half tenth behind Leanne Wan in the final rankings.
Oh.
So I think that speaks to her all-around potential as well, because if she can score just a half tenth behind Leanne Wan when she had a fall on bars, which is already not a good, it's already a weaker event for her, I think that says something.
Because Leanne had a really good day.
Well, sure.
I mean, are we moving on to session two now? Because I really feel like Jocelyn and Melanie were, like, the main people.
There's one more thing I want. Yeah, I want to mention. Just hold on. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let me finish the thought. Leanne, from what I recall, she obviously had, like, there's deductions. There's things here and there. But, like, she didn't have a disastrous day.
Her beam dismount was pretty wonky.
That was probably the wonkiest part of her day.
But she didn't fall. And so for Jocelyn to fall
on a weak event
and still be that close to her is an interesting point.
Yes. I just wanted to emphasize that. Okay. Now, Zoe Miller. Twerking after her bar routine. So iconic.
Well, her bar routine was great, first of all. Like,
yeah. Actually, it was the highest score of the competition on bars. She had a 14.75. So definitely something to be happy about. And after her routine, she sticks to the dismount and she does this like little twerk thing.
And in the arena, like, I thought maybe my eyes had deceived me because bars was the farthest event from us. So, you know, and you're also watching multiple routines at once. You're kind of like looking around, like darting. Your eyes are darting back and forth. You're not just like zoned in usually on one person unless it's like Simone. So she nailed her routine and, you know, I'm like, great. On to the next thing. And then out of the corner of my eye, I see her twerking. And I'm like, wait a second. Did I just see that correctly?
I completely missed it.
And like, you can see when you watch on the broadcast, Laurent in the background, like the look on his face, he just walks by like almost unfazed. Like this just happens every day in the gym.
Literally. He's like, yep, here they go again. Like this is what I deal with every day in the gym.
And same thing with Simone after her vault. She did like her little Wii celebration thing where she like raises her arm and then jumps in a circle and then raises the arm again. And Jordan was on the floor doing it with her. They did that in podium training too. So that was really funny and cute. I feel like a lot of these athletes are just really in a different headspace, it seems. Like, I really feel like the vibes were good at this meet. Like,
I know.
Nobody seemed super stressed. Nobody seemed like they didn't want to be there. Even like Simone talking to the media after the fact, like, I feel like she just had like a different energy and like a different aura to her. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, she had an opportunity to walk away from the press and she said she was good, that she could keep answering questions.
Yeah. So they tried to cut it off after like 5-ish minutes and she ended up talking for 15 with the media. And like, I feel like if you know anything about Simone with press conferences, she's very like,
get me out of here.
Usually you can tell by her face that she's over it. But like this time she was like, yeah, let's keep going. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just feel like everyone was having a really good vibe and energy to them.
Yeah, and it's definitely different than what we're used to in like the Marta era. Like, could you imagine somebody twerking after their bar routine?
Right. Feeling comfortable enough to do that and knowing that you're not gonna get like in trouble after, right. You know, like,
by the way, that was a bet we should probably mention. So it was a bet with the WCC girls and Simone in particular. They didn't think that she would do it on TV after her routine. And Simone bet her $200 to do it, and she ended up doing it. So Simone is out $200. I'm sure that's fine with her. But very, very funny to watch. And like we said, I think just good to see the girls out there having fun.
Yeah, a very good sign, I think, of, you know, potentially culture change within USA Gymnastics. Like I said, I think the fact that they feel comfortable enough to joke around and be lighthearted, whether that's in podium training or after a routine in the actual competition, like, everyone just seems relaxed and like they're having a good time. And that's really what this is all about. You know what I mean? Like, they're doing this because they love the sport, not because it's something that they have to be doing or that they should always be serious all the time. Like, it's possible to do both. And I think that we're kind of starting to see that now, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's do the results of the senior women with both sessions combined, and then we'll get into more of our highlights from session two. So Simone Biles, of course, won the meet with a 59.1.
Wild.
Second was Leanne Wan with a 54.1. I said that weird, 54.1. So Simone was exactly 5 points ahead of second place.
Casual.
And then we mentioned Jocelyn Robertson, just a half tenth back from Leanne Wan with a 54.050.
So I feel like, obviously, we have to start with Simone. And I think we have to start with the Yurchenko double pike and the one that she stuck cold in the warm-ups.
That was crazy.
So what's really crazy is that morning I remember saying to Ash that if there was any quote-unquote downside to her doing this vault, it's that I felt like it would be really hard to stick or at least control the landing because she has so much power. I feel like even more power than when she initially started doing it in 2021.
Uh-huh. During podium training, she landed one. The other two, she had so much power that she almost did like a back extension roll out of it.
Yeah.
Because she just had too much power.
And so I was talking to Ashley in the morning, and I basically said, like, I'm pretty sure I literally said, like, she's never going to stick that vow. I said it, like, not even, like,
and then
12
Simone,
hours.
Simone must be in the room next door.
And she heard you, and then she's like, hold my drink.
Like, so it's on.
It happened, like, 12 hours or whatever. I'm not going to do the math, but, like, several hours later, it happened. And she stuck it in warm-ups, and it was... Like, the arena erupted. Everyone was like...
And it wasn't even full
no,
yet.
No, but, like, the people who were there, they got to witness that. Ugh, so good. I almost recorded it, too. I almost picked up my phone because I saw her getting ready to go, and I'm like, you know what, like...
For the memes.
I like, don't know, right. I don't know when the next time I'm going to be, like, in Simone Biles' presence, and she's going to be doing this vault. You know what I mean? So I'm like, maybe I should record it. And I was like, no, because it's just going to look how it's been looking, and she's just going to, like, fly out of it, so, like, there's no need for me to get a video of it. And then she sticks it. So...
We love that. Yeah, it was definitely the best way possible to start. It wasn't even the competition yet, but what felt like the competition, like just to have her do that. And then knowing in a couple more minutes, we were going to actually see her compete for the first
time.
You're
sitting there like nodding your head like this is going to be good, isn't it?
So something that's interesting about the Yurchenko double pike is the start value. That is something that a lot of people, at least in like the media area, were really confused about.
Oh, I think everyone's confused about it. Like doesn't really make sense to me.
So it had a provisional start value last quad of a 16.6, but this quad they lowered all of the start values. I think for like the Yurchenko style vaults it was 4/10.
Yeah,
so we were expecting it to be a 16.2,
which is what it got at camp a couple weeks prior,
but then this meet it got a 16.4, so we were like,
why
confusion help?
And so I think everyone was like talking and we were all like, wait a minute, like, are we seeing this correct? Is this an error? Like what? Why? And I think Scott Bragman and Jessica from Gymcastic, like they were like on it immediately. They're like, we need to figure this out. So they went and asked someone from USA Gymnastics and there was still a little bit of confusion. Like I think the people from USA Gymnastics didn't really know what to say. Like they were kind of like, I don't know. But we ended up figuring out that they're working on a proposal for that vault to be a 16.4 start value instead of the 16.2.
So 2/10 higher. We'll have to see how that plays out because obviously they're giving her that start value domestically, but internationally
they might evaluate it differently.
Yeah.
Which is what happened last time. So,
we'll have to...
it didn't quite get the start value that they wanted and that everyone thought it deserved. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it deserves a higher start value.
Oh, like, absolutely.
I'm all for
it. If you guy gymnasts, besides Paul Juda, which we'll get to, few guy gymnasts ever do that vault. So to have one of the women gymnasts doing it is just crazy. And I don't know if they're going to do what they did with her beam dismount, her double-double beam dismount, where they don't want people attempting it, so they're going to purposely undervalue it. I hope that's not the case. I think it should get what it deserves, which is the highest possible start value that you can realistically draw up for that vault.
Yeah.
So
when I saw something saying that they were going to do the 16, like a 16 flat for the Yurchenko double tuck, if somebody were to attempt to go for that vault, like that's the argument, like that is worth a 16 and therefore the piked version would be worth a 16.4. Like that's the argument, I mm-hmm. guess. We should probably also mention the deductions that Simone got on that vault. So she had 6/10 in deduction, one of which was for 1/10, I should say, was for going out of bounds. And then 5/10 of that was Laurent standing on the podium because that's not allowed.
Which he apparently plans to do going forward. Like he has no intention of, for Simone's safety, moving away from the podium.
Because that was not something that last quad, which Simone only did the vault at the US Classic and then she did it in podium training at the Olympics and quals. No, she couldn't have done it in quals because it would have been named after her.
No, it was.
What did she do?
Her normal vaults.
Okay.
She did it, I think, in podium training.
She did, yeah, because there is a video of her doing it at the Olympics.
It's the one of her in like the black leotard, which was podium training.
Right. Okay. So, anyways, the two times that she has done that vault, Laurent has not been on the podium for it, and now he is. So,
and that was according to Jessica from Gymcastic. I believe she was the one that got that information from him. That
it's circulating now, so now it's one of those things, like, I don't know where it came from, but I think that was the original source, but. Either way, I'm totally okay with that. You know what I mean? Like that vault is rated so high and it's also so dangerous that I would rather them try and do it as safely as possible as opposed to having her go for it if in any way, shape or form she can get in her head about it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just especially after considering what happened last I almost said last year, last quad, last time she competed. Well, I feel like I'd rather them just be safe instead of sorry. You know what I mean? And well, like take the deduction. Who cares?
She got a 15-4 with those deductions. So I think she's fine.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like it'll be fine. So super excited to see that she's doing that vault again. I kind of wondered if she's doing that vault. Well, first of all, she wants to get it named after herself. But do you also think that because of what happened at the Olympics with her getting the twisties on her Aminar attempt, that she's just like boycotting the Aminar now?
Possibly. Maybe she finds it easier to do the Yurchenko double pike.
Well, and also we had to consider the fact that you can't do two vaults from the same family. So she's not able to do the Aminar and the Yurchenko double pike. She would have to do like the Chong and the Yurchenko double pike.
One of that and or the Aminar.
Right. Like she could change out the Yurchenko double pike for the Aminar. And that can be kind of used like interchangeably if she wants. But I kind of just see her sticking with Yurchenko double pike and trying to make it as consistent and comfortable as possible.
Well, she looked great.
Worlds and the Olympics.
She looked great at classics with it. So that was exciting. And then her new floor routine, I really, really love. So it was choreographed by BJ Das. And I think you can totally tell. It's like, it looks like BJ. Same with Jordan Chiles. Very like college-y.
Really? You feel that way?
Kind of. Like, so I will say, giving UCLA.
Okay, interesting. I don't know if I got that vibe. I think it's the best floor routine that Simone's had.
Oh, for sure.
For sure. And Jordan's I also think I really like. If you guys want to see, because she didn't do floor at Classics, but you want to see like a high quality video of it, we got it from Podium Trading when she did a dance through, and that's on Inside Gym's YouTube channel. So and there's a couple little edits in it because there was a couple small little moments where the camera went out of focus, so we like edited that
out. Or she like botched her wolf turn, so we did her a favor and we cut that out.
Right, but like majority, like I would say like 90% of her dance through is put together and it's on YouTube if you want to check that out.
It's enough for you to get the feel for what it's gonna be.
Yes. And when she's actually performing it in front of a crowd, you just know she's gonna eat. So super excited for that. But yeah, Simone's routine's great. She's not doing her full difficulty at any event. She's not doing her double off bars, beam dismount. She's not doing
double. She's not doing a triple double on floor.
Yeah. So kind of a lot of twisting stuff again, which is probably to be expected.
Doing twisting. Like she is doing a 1.5 through to double. She's doing the Biles 1, which is the double layout half out. She's doing a double layout as her last pass, and then there's one more pass that I'm forgetting. Full twisting double layout, yep, as her opening pass. So she's definitely still twisting. Like it's not a matter of,
but it's not as much of the tucked twisting. But just an observation, you know what I mean? But I'm guessing that the goal was to get some of that in.
I would say it's fine because she's doing a full end dismount still. She's still doing the full on beam.
No. Hold on. To be clear, I'm not arguing that she has the twisties. I'm not at all insinuating that. I'm just observing the fact that she has a lot less of the tucked twisting elements that she had previously in her routine. I just noticed that. Yeah. I'm wondering if that's something that she's going to be putting in come championships.
Or I don't know necessarily.
Is she going to keep her routines what they are? Because truthfully, she doesn't really need all that difficulty.
Well, and that's what Cecile said. She doesn't really need the difficulty. They might add it in, if not for championships down the line, maybe next year. I think it's really just going to depend on what she's most consistent with and what she's most comfortable doing, because she doesn't need the difficulty. She's fine just how she is. She could downgrade her routines from what they are now and still be fine. So, yeah, we'll just have to keep our eye on that and see what she ends up doing. Either way, it's going to be exciting.
Very, very excited. Also, Leanne Wan, very excited for her. She is representing Florida, so she did not go back to Gage like she did last Elite season. I'm very happy about that because she looks so happy. And she's, you know, we kind of mentioned a lot of these athletes seem to have a different like aura about them. And Leanne is one of the people that I noticed it with the most. The way that she walks around the floor, she makes eye contact with people. She smiles and
she says hello. She just seems like she's having fun.
Yeah, like there's a different energy. And then meanwhile, you look across the floor and you see the Gage girls all looking like miserable. And then you have Leanne who's like glowing. Like she's literally glowing.
Well, and
her gymnastics looks good too. That's the thing.
But then even when she does make a small mistake or like for her beam dismount, for example, definitely not how she wanted to perform it. But she has this look on her face, just kind of like, oops. Like, yes. Didn't mean to do that.
It's like no big deal. And that's how it should be because this is classics. Like, it's literally not that big of a deal. So, yeah, I'm liking Leanne right now. I'm liking the vibes. I'm liking the gymnastics.
Her new floor routine. She's got some upgrades in there as well. She did a double layout, which I was not expecting.
I'm like, why have you not been doing that this entire time?
Yeah, it looked good. Double layout, tuck double-double. Was a little bit wonky in the one-touch warm-up, but was great in competition. So.
Yeah, she looked really, really good. She got second, and then third was Jocelyn, and we already talked about her. I think other seniors that you want to mention, obviously Suni Lee, we got to talk about her. Her first meet since becoming Olympic all-around champion. She's been dealing with some kidney issues, as we all know, so she hasn't been able to train as much as she has, you know, wanted to, or you would hope to, leading into a meet like this. So she only did vault. She did Yurchenko full. It was really nice. And then her beam, I was really pleasantly surprised with because I just didn't know what to expect from her. Mm-hmm. Difficulty-wise, and then also just with her level of preparation and conditioning, like considering that she said that she's not training as much and she has days where she doesn't come in just based off how she's feeling.
Or days where she just does dance and she doesn't actually do a lot of actual gymnastics or routine. She just kind of works on her dance elements.
Right. So they're very much taking it day by day, which I think is smart. I hope that they're not pushing it too much because I worry about like the long-term health risks that come with kidney issues. Like, I just don't think that's anything to like play around with. So I am hoping that, you know, they have a training plan together that works for her. That's what she's indicating when she talks to the media. So really just taking it day by day. But with that being said, I was really pleasantly surprised with how she looked on beam. She had a really, really beautiful beam routine. She got a 14.5 on that event, which was good enough for second.
And she looked so happy, so relieved after her beam routine. She got a little bit emotional. And I think that was probably just because the pressure she was feeling. That was something she talked about after podium training. Just, you know, the expectations that come with being the Olympic all-around champion. And maybe people out there that don't know fully what she's been going through and are expecting her to look just as good as she did in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And knowing that she's not at full strength here, you know, and not wanting people to think that, you know, she's not in it or, you know, what happened to Suni, you know what I mean? Like, right. I think she's just, she thinks about those things. So I think she was putting a lot of pressure on herself, but she did really good. She handled the pressure well. She performed well, and you could see the relief, especially after that beam routine.
And what'll be interesting with Suni is she qualified to championships on the two events that she competed, so vault and beam. To me, she seemed to indicate that she was going to be petitioning to the all-around. Well, first of all, Sam Pezek said that on the broadcast. And then in the media after the fact, somebody asked her about that. And the look on her face, in my opinion, seemed to be one of, like, confusion. Like, they basically asked her about, like, qualifying to nationals only on two events instead of doing the all-around. And her face to me kind of read like, wait a minute, what? Like, I think she thought that she would be able to petition for the all-around, and she still may. I guess I'm kind of confused by that because if you're going off of what the rules say, you only qualify on the events that you qualified on.
Right.
There, from my understanding, there's not a petition process to get yourself to go on additional events unless they have some sort of stipulation for some unwritten stipulation, I should say, for somebody who is an Olympic all-around champion or because of some of her medical health issues, like maybe they are willing to bend the rules for her, I guess. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But my understanding at this point in time is that she's only going for vault and bars. Or sorry, bars? No. Beam. Beam and
you
vault.
Good?
I don't know. Am I good? We have already recorded this entire podcast once, and now we're having to like say it all again. So some of it maybe feels like
contrived.
Not contrived, but like I'm just like go mode, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It feels just like,
well, when we're trying to remember all the things that we wanted to say. We still haven't watched the meet back either.
We watched the first session and we watched half of the second session.
Not even, we just finished Simone's bars in the first rotation.
No, so. We, after the meet we watched, do you not remember that?
Well, no, I don't.
You really don't remember
that? No, I remember we watched it, but I don't count that as like watching the meet. Like,
I mean, I do. We
did. I didn't retain it. I was so tired.
That's fair. That is fair. Okay, that makes sense. I'm like, we did technically. I wanted we physically were watching it. Like, your eyes were on the screen.
Yes.
I don't know how much you were alive.
Yeah,
but
I want to be able to like sit down and process it and enjoy it like a fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I probably have also a lot more thoughts after that, but This is a lot of just going off of like memory or what we did watch again that night, but that was already feels like so long ago. So
the whole weekend was a blur, to be honest with you. Like, yeah. I'm like trying to recall like on what days certain things happened, and I'm like, wait.
And I have no idea. Also, I forgot something about Simone that I want to mention before we move on to anybody else. Just want to talk about her timeline back to competition.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that's really impressive. And of course, like, it's Simone. She always does this. But she said that she only got back in the gym really just to condition and like start getting in shape in September of last year. And then once the new year hit, she started actually like training and doing gymnastics again, but didn't really like hunker down and go like pedal to the metal until after her wedding in May.
Yeah.
So,
which is not that long.
She has not been training that long, but she looks amazing and really makes you wonder what she's going to look like in, you know, a month's time, 2 months' time, 3 months' time.
In a lot of ways, I think her gymnastics, although it's not as difficult, I think it's higher and just it feels better than what she was doing before, and I think that has a lot to do with her mental state personally. That's my justification. Well, like, I think you can really tell that she's in a different place.
Well, she's going to therapy now once a week, she said, and I think she has a great support system around her. She's married now, her teammates seem like they're really supportive and they're all good friends. So yeah, I think she's in a good place, and with more time to train, I think she's only gonna get better.
Other people that we want to mention, Jade Carey. She only did beam, wasn't her best. It was kind of a shaky routine. So,
but you have to remember, she's still coming back from a busy NCAA season. Same with Jordan Chiles. Like, they went from competing elite worlds to college and then right back into elite. Like, they haven't had much downtime.
Yeah.
So that is something to consider. Jade looked phenomenal the entire college season. So I don't think the like she's gonna have any problems getting back to that same level.
No. And I think honestly a lot of it with Jade is really strategic. I actually feel like she and her dad are really good at pacing her and creating this training plan that allows her to slowly build up her difficulty. And right now she seems to be working on more the things that she gets hammered on, which would be like the artistry deductions, execution, things like that. And she's probably working her difficulty behind the scenes. But at this point in time, there's really no need to go out there and do it. You know, I think come championships, you would want to see more difficulty from her, because we haven't seen her full difficulty in a minute, like since the Olympics. So that's something that we'll be watching for, to see what upgrades that she has for championships.
Well,
and
we
beyond.
Know she's not going to be doing the triple-double. She's officially said that ship has sailed. So she said she's a little bit scared of it. I wonder if Simone has anything to do with that.
Just yeah,
like the twisties
that is interesting. Like, I wonder what made her change her mind about it, because she was going for it in the previous quad. And it would have been exciting to see her get it named after her. But ultimately, you know, got to do what's best for the body and also the mind. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know if it's worth the risk at this point. Like, I think she needs to focus on getting her difficulty that she had at the Olympics back. And, you know, improving her score in areas like the artistry and execution that are going to keep her relevant in this conversation of not only who's on the world's team, but who's on the Olympic team.
Mm-hmm. Want to point out, too, that her dad is at Oregon State now as an assistant coach. So
yeah,
that will hopefully have a positive impact on her and her training, because she's going to stay in college. She's still going to do classes, unlike, you know, Jordan, who went back to WCC and is deferring. And honestly, we don't even know at this point if she's going to come back to UCLA. Jade is doing the opposite. She's staying, same with Leanne, staying at Florida. So she was asked about like how she's going to balance it all. And she said that the upcoming college season, she's, you know, possibly not going to travel to some meets depending on how far it is, or maybe won't do all around every single weekend like she has been doing. So definitely going to be a little bit more cautious in the NCAA season,
which is smart
going into that Olympic year, so that way she can be her best and peak when she needs to be. But I'm excited for her to have her dad with her. I think, like you said, they're a great coaching daughter gymnast duo, and really,
I think they have a good system.
Yeah, they have a good plan in place to keep her healthy and, you know, to kind of hopefully peak at the right time. So looking forward to seeing Jade and how she's going to balance it all and also continue to improve and fend off people like Jocelyn Robertson, who are hot on her heels.
And so, also Jordan Chiles. Yeah. Jordan Chiles only did beam and bars here. Really good. I mean, beam, she had a big significant wobble on her series, but other than that, I mean, it was pretty good. She hasn't been training elite well, I shouldn't say she hasn't been training elite skills, because I'm sure she has been at UCLA, but she recently got back to WCC. Like, she kind of recently started to get back into that elite grind coming off the college season. So I think that she has plenty of time to upgrade and kind of get that consistency back. And I don't really have too much to say about her. Like, she kind of just did Jordan Chiles things. Like, she just, she looked pretty good.
Really looking forward to seeing that floor routine, though, in competition.
Yes.
Also want to give a shout out to Kalia Lincoln. She's someone who, as a junior, was someone who had a lot of potential, in my opinion, but then, you know, dealt with injuries and kind of fell off the radar a little bit. But she's back and she looks great. Honestly, someone who might be a little bit of a sleeper for the Olympic team, or even, you know, a world's team, or I don't know her plans down the line, if she plans to do like elite and college, but I think she would be amazing if
when she did. When is she going to LSU? Do we know?
I think it would be after the Olympics.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I still think she has work to do on some of the other events in terms of, like, consistency and things like that.
But her vault, she has a Yurchenko double, and it's so good, so high, so clean. And then floor, she has some really nice tumbling passes, some of the highest tumbling passes in the entire field, maybe aside from Simone. Actually, she placed second to Simone on floor with a 14 flat. She tied with Jocelyn Robertson.
And didn't she win Winter Cup on floor?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure she did.
She did. She has a really nice tuck double-double, double layout that's, like, beautiful. So really good stuff there from her on vault. And then she was actually third on vault here as well with a 14.
You just said vault. You meant to say floor. But I think they knew what you meant. You said really good stuff from her on vault.
Oh, well.
You meant to say floor.
Good stuff for her on vault, but also floor.
Like, it's true either way.
Well, I'm saying both. Like, I'm saying, like, she has good stuff on vault, and she also has good stuff on floor.
Yeah.
She was third on vault with a 14.15 for Yurchenko double.
I really enjoyed watching her. She was one of the people that caught my eye in the arena. And, you know, when you're there in person watching, your eyes are kind of darting back and forth, taking in everything. But she pulled my eye on both those events. So yeah, definitely someone to keep your eye on, is kind of like a sleeper pick for your world and Olympic team, even if it's just for like an alternate spot. Like she could find herself in the mix for sure. Also Sky Blakely, she's somebody who looked really, really great here. Nailed the shit out of her standing full, and probably the best that I've ever seen her do it.
She's been looking really good, even just with videos that we've seen online and her scores from camp. Like, she definitely is keeping herself in the mix for her beam and bars alone, but then also the fact that she has potential to be a strong all-arounder. Like, she has good tumbling, she has a year chink, which she didn't do floor here, but she has good tumbling. She has
I think
a good
if she
vault.
Did floor here, she would have been on that all-around podium.
Probably. But she has a good vault. You know, she has all the makings to be exactly what Team USA needs. And she just needs consistency, which has been her downfall in the past.
I think that's exactly what Team USA needs, is Sky Blakely. We have a lot of people who are good on floor and vault. And I don't want to say beam and bars is weak, because it's not weak, but like, you really need that like bar specialist, that person that can bring in like a really like medal worthy world or Olympic type routine on that event. And Suni is that person, but is Suni going to do the all around? Is Suni going to be healthy? There's a lot more question marks around Suni, I think, at this exact point in time. So if someone like Sky can really up her consistency and as an all-arounder kind of prove that she's one of those top all-arounders, she's absolutely in the mix, because I think her bars and beam being her best events, but vault and floor also really being pretty solid, pretty good.
Yeah.
That bodes really, really well for her and her chances.
I think championships in San Jose in a couple weeks is going to be a true test, but I mean, so far I think she's looking good and she's doing her job.
Right. Like, she did it once here. I'd like to see her do it two more times. Yep. You know, like, just to really prove to everybody, like, give a middle finger to all of the people, including us, who have said that she's inconsistent at times. Like, I would love nothing more for her to give the middle finger to all of us.
Well, we're not wrong for saying that, but I'd love for her to be like, I'm no longer that person.
Yes. Oh, 100%. Like, please, please do that. Because
bring it, Sky.
I think that she is absolutely in the mix. And like I said, I think she's exactly what Team USA needs. So can't wait to see what she does going forward. Is there anybody else that we wanted to talk about? Oh, we were going to talk about the men. Real quick.
Yeah.
So we don't normally talk about men on the All Things Gymnastics podcast.
I think we wanted to give a little shout out to Paul Juda, to be honest with you. One, because he debuted his Yurchenko double pike this weekend and it was amazing. So we saw not one, but two.
Yurchenko double pike king. And yes. then Simone is the queen.
Yes. Really, really good. Especially to see him back out there and doing upgrades after having so many injuries. He has definitely dealt with the injury bug. I think he had like 3 or 4 different injuries that he had been through since this time last year. So good to see him back out there. Such a positive energy. Amazing gymnast.
He is like the happiest, nicest person that I think I've ever met.
Even when he makes mistakes, like he's the kind of guy that's just happy to be there. You know what I mean? And I know he's competitive. Like he doesn't want to just be there. He wants to win and he wants to do well. But he's also the kind of guy that's not going to like beat himself up after having a mistake. Like he on his last event, which was Pommel Horse, got a little too excited too early as he was going for the dismount and ended up standing on the pommel horse instead of on the floor.
And I was like, wait, what
did he do? Why did he do that? And he said afterwards when we were talking to him that he just rushed it and he has a tendency to do that. He'd done that in the past when he was younger. Like he's thinking about the celebration and, you know, the fact that he's having a great meet and he just wants to keep it rolling. And he got a little bit ahead of himself, but he really did have a good meet aside from that mistake.
He got third in the all around. Astrahan got first and
Koyeon was second.
Yes. I'm like, wait, who got second? Yeah. And then Paul Jada was third. So Paul Jada supremacy is basically the message that we're trying to send here.
Right. If you're not into men's gymnastics and you want to kind of start getting into men's gymnastics and you're looking for someone to stand, we would highly recommend Paul Jada.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag stand Paul Jada. Because he's a good gymnast. He's really clean, but he's also just like a really good guy. Like, mm-hmm. And he's also dating Rana Gugino, who we also love. So like stand both of them, please. But we're like really grateful for him because we requested to speak with him and USA Gymnastics told us that he had left the arena because they have a bye. They had 2 byes, didn't they?
They did. In the whole meet they did, but so, they ended with a bye.
So he ended with a bye. A lot of the top athletes ended with a bye. So like people started leaving. Like a lot of the top male gymnasts were like just piecing out because why are they sitting around for another rotation when they're not doing awards or anything like that? So yeah, I think he did like kind of leave. He was like up in the stands. We ended up spotting him and we were like, okay, so he didn't leave. He's right there. And so Ashley texted him and was like, hey, we want an interview. Can you like come back down here?
And I said, like, it's fine if you can't. Like, I'll catch you at championships. Like, I don't want to like inconvenience him.
Right. Like, no big deal. But like, just asking.
And he's like, absolutely. And he's like, can you come up here? And I was like, no, can you come down here? Because we're not allowed. Well, I mean, we can go up there, but it's more difficult with where we were at. So he ended up coming down, which we were super, super thankful
for. But like, that's the kind of guy he is. He's like, not inconvenienced by anything. And I'm like, bless your heart. Like, the media appreciates that. But I also think he appreciates the media, and that's something that he kind of said.
Every time I talk to him, he starts by thanking me for the time, for letting him share his story. Like, he's always just so grateful, which is really, really nice to see. Because I think
the guys in this definitely don't take it for granted.
Yeah, and because they don't get the opportunities, truly. They don't get the opportunities as much as the women do and the interest from the media. So he's not wrong. You know, whenever he has the opportunity to talk and do an interview, he's grateful for it. And I think that's nice as a member of the media just to have the athlete show their appreciation for even for what you're doing. So
yeah, because I feel like the men kind of got like the short end of the stick with coverage for this meet. Like their broadcast was not on TV, first of all. So they had like a live stream. There was no commentary. There was fans in the stands, but because USA Gymnastics moved the day and also the times of the meet, like literally the second men's meet, they end up pushing the time back because the first one went too long, and it just, you know, it didn't get a lot of people left is what I'm saying. Like I think a lot of fans left and
a lot of athletes left,
the media left. Like quite literally it was us, so Inside Gymnastics and then Gymnastics Now were the only media that was there for the men.
And then we actually ended up having to leave for the second session of the men because we had to drive back home. We didn't have like another night in the hotel, so.
And that was the issue. Like also me saying that, I just want to make it clear, I'm not shading the other media for leaving. I'm saying that because USA Gymnastics,
people had flights and hotels, right,
like people, like they had to leave. Like it wasn't anyone's fault. Like people just couldn't be there, and the men deserve better than that, which is where I'm going with this. Is I feel like I wish these things were more organized and well thought out, and that the men got the same level of respect and attention from USA Gymnastics that they give to the women. And I understand the fan base for men isn't as large, but I think it could be if they were treated different by the media and by USA Gymnastics. That's all I'm going to say on that. I have more things to say, but maybe we'll save that for another day,
another year,
another year,
life. I don't know.
But that's my little rant, I guess. Also, I'm going to shout out Kinsley. She is a men's gymnastics expert. Me and Ashley don't know everything about men's gymnastics. We are still very much learning because we don't cover it. You know what I mean? Like on this podcast, like I'm going to talk about
women. We know who's who and, you know, the competitions we
watch.
They go to,
like, we pay attention and we know we've learned a little bit more in the past like year or so from paying attention more. But like, we want to get better at talking about what's going on with the men, at least the big things, and giving them the attention and the respect that they deserve at competitions. So Kinsley has been like super helpful. Like we can text her whenever we have a question about a skill or what something means or like, who is this person? Who should we be watching? You know what I mean? Like pretty much any question you ask her and she's right there to like help you understand it, which I think is great. Even for the media to have a better understanding of what's going on with the men, we all kind of have to like train ourselves, you know? And so I think she's been super great for helping us and a lot of gymnastics fans. Mm-hmm. She has a website called Neutral Deductions that she created recently.
And she covers everything that's happening to men's gymnastics every week.
It's exclusively men's gymnastics, which has never happened before. We've never had a gymnastics media outlet that is just strictly for the men. It's always like just the women, or it's a little bit of both. A lot of the media, well, not, I shouldn't say a lot, a couple of the media outlets do cover both, but a lot just cover the women. So I think that Kinsley is doing it for the flip side, and she's just covering the men. Is that's kind of her expertise, and I think we're really grateful for that. So just wanted to shout that out. If you're interested in watching men's gymnastics and kind of learning more about it, I think her website, Neutral Deductions, is super helpful, and we'll link it down below. That does it for this week's episode. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Unfortunately, we're not doing a question of the week this week just because this episode is already over an hour and it's our second time recording it and we've spent enough time on it as is. So we're just going to skip over the question of the week. But if you have one that you want answered next week, we have a link in the show notes down below to an anonymous form where you can submit a question. Also, we want to thank our gold level Patreon supporters. So a big thank you to ML, Megan W, Katie C, MSU, Kimberly G, Randy B, Emily B, Kathleen R, Lucy S, Becca S, Blake B, Cookie Master, Faith, Kristen R, Lori S, Sabrina M, Amy C, Erica S, M, Derek H, Abby M, Martin, Paul M, Krista, Jasmine C, and Lee B. Thank you all for continuing to support our show each month at the highest tier level. We love and appreciate you guys so, so much. And if you are interested in becoming a Patreon supporter and helping to keep this show going and growing, we have a link in the show notes down below to our Patreon page where you can see the perks of each tier level and how you can join. We'll be back next week with another interview. We have NC State's Chloe Negrete on the show, and it is a really great interview. We had a great conversation with her just about, you know, growing up in the sport, the injuries that she's been through, how she got to NC State, and what her plans for the future are. So we really think you guys are going to enjoy that one. So we hope to see you next week.
Bye.